The young Jamie. 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, my favorite farmer. you're my favorite farmer.
I'm your favorite farmer.
Yeah, excellent. I don't know that many of them, but you're number one.
All right. I have a feeling that I don't quite farm the things you would rather use.
What do you mean, like marijuana? Is that what you're trying to say?
I wasn't going to say it, but if you're going to bring it up.
I love wine, dude. You make fucking killer wine.
Okay.
I'm a fan of your wine. So excellent. There you go. I've yet to try your food, but I want to. I didn't even know what an osteria was until I talked to you.
See?
I didn't know.
Or that you use falcons to kill birds in your
that
vineyard.
Fucking thing you sent me is dope as fuck.
Yeah.
So you have hired a person and a couple that raises falcons to kill pigeons that are fucking with your food.
Starlings, sparrows, anything that's messing with the grapes. They have these falcons come through, and the thing is, the collective birds in the area, they'll have a memory of that. So like if you have this hawk come through the vineyard and they just pulverize and there's feathers everywhere, that the community of birds kind of go, I don't think we should go this way. We should go that way.
The cage with the feathers everywhere and then the pigeons on the other side is like, what?
Yeah, that's a snack.
I was in Venice recently, last week. I'm still jet lagged. I'm completely fucked. I haven't slept solid in 5 whole days. My body does not know what's going on. I'll go to sleep completely exhausted, and I'll wake up 2 hours later feeling like shit, and I can't go back to sleep.
Right.
But when I was in Venice, there was a guy with a falcon. He had a falcon with him, and I was like, why does this guy have a falcon? And then the fucking pigeons come in like crazy. And when the guy's there with the falcon, the pigeons just ghost. They're gone. They take off. So this guy stands there by the dock in Venice as the gondoliers pull up, and he's just got this falcon just sitting there so that the people can eat their food. The pigeons are insanely aggressive. Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculous place.
Until they see.
They see that falcon.
Done.
Fuck this. Yes. Yeah. Correct. You ever see videos online where the Mongols use eagles, golden eagles, to hunt for wolves?
Come on.
Dude, it's wild. An eagle, which weighs like what, 15, 20 pounds? They fuck wolves up. These wolves are just running for their life as death swarms down from the sky.
We were going to use the drone to get some footage of the falcons, and we're like, she's like, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. And like, yeah, because the blades, he goes, no, your drone, because the falcons will go full force into your drone and destroy it. So whatever you paid for it, try going to your insurance company and going, hey, my drone broke. What did you do? Flew near a falcon, they're going to go, yeah, good luck.
Well, peregrine falcons, don't they go like 200 miles an hour?
Yeah.
They're the fastest animal on the planet.
Boom.
Fuck, what? 200 miles an hour?
Yeah, destroy your drone.
I mean, that doesn't even make sense. What do you got? Oh, this is the Mongol. So look, this dude's run. The wolves are running away. The wolves know the fucking drill too, man. And this eagle just comes down and jacks the wolf. And that's how they skin these wolves. Look at that. Two of them. Boom.
Good God.
Yeah, they are death from the sky. And these guys raise them.
And then they wear the wolf hat.
Yeah, they wear the skin, the furs, everything. Right. But it's just
So
that's it.
What are we talking about?
Whatever you want to talk about, fella.
Right. Here
you
guys.
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Guys, you're responsible for taking care of you, and that means spending some time cleaning yourself up. But I know that can be a challenge, especially when you're not sure what products or razors to use. So to help you get started, I want to recommend Manscaped. They can help you take care of all your grooming needs, even when it comes to your more sensitive areas. Or as our friends at Manscaped like to call them, the boys. Their trimmers, the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, 4.0 Pro, and 5.0 Ultra are all equipped with skin-safe technology to help reduce the risk of grooming accidents. They're also waterproof and come with an LED spotlight so you can actually see what you're shaving. And I know that summer's coming, which means vacations and traveling for a lot of you. Well, Manscaped has you covered. Their trimmers come with a convenient travel case that you can easily pack and bring along. For the best you and your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ROGAN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ROGAN at manscaped.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Skin-safe technology does not guarantee cut protection. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better, if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Some news. Yeah. So I figured, I know there's a lot of, there's probably some Tool fans that'll probably tune into this specifically to hear some news.
Yeah.
So rather than being a dick and waiting to the end to tell them, we should probably tell them up front.
Are you like softening in your age?
No, not at all. I care about as long as things have taken for us, because we're a very difficult band. We're very stubborn and we're kind of ignorant to what goes on in the rest of the world. And so people are like, guys, come on, guys. To their credit, like we did the whole Betamax thing didn't work for us, and neither did Laserdisc. So we have this new thing called digital media and streaming. We're going to try it out.
You got to stream?
It's a new thing. It's a new thing. Streaming.
So iTunes, you can just get
Amazon.
It? Oh, like Spotify? That kind
of
deal?
Yeah. You heard of it?
Yeah.
It's just brand new. It's brand new.
Yeah. It like works on your phone or something.
To us, it's brand new.
What are you doing with it?
We're going to put some songs on it.
Oh, so you can listen when you're not even like plugged in anything?
Correct.
Wow.
So here's what I'm going to do now, because this is by the time this actually airs, this will have already happened, but you're filming me doing it.
Right. You're going to upload a tweet.
I'm going to do a thing.
Let everybody know.
I'm a tweaker.
Do you have it prepared and everything?
Not really.
So you're doing this because your fans, which are very rabid, you have rabid fans. The Tool fans are particularly enthusiastic.
They're pretty aggressive.
Well, it's because you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
You fucked up. You made an awesome band. You got some radical fans.
Okay.
So if you release this podcast, the idea was that if you said it on the podcast without letting them know first.
Yeah. They deserve to hear first. They've been very patient with us. Very patient. Oh, so this Friday, August 2nd.
Dum, dum, dum.
The catalog.
The whole catalog.
Catalog goes up.
On Napster.
Are you familiar with Napster?
I've heard of it.
It's great.
That Lars guy's really upset about it.
Yes. You should talk to Lars about this. He's got a whole thing. He's going to try to figure out how to undermine them.
Yeah, he's going to stop it in its tracks.
The catalog goes up on all digital and streaming.
He's doing this on his phone right now as we're talking.
Streaming.
So up until this time,
Matt's.
You never have had anything up and available.
No.
You're like, what's his name? Garth Brooks? Yeah, he doesn't have anything up either. No comment. Garth Brooks doesn't, he just wants his, but it's kind of like a good artistic choice. He doesn't want his stuff to be broken up into songs. He wants you to download or to buy his entire CD because he feels like there's a correct order for his songs.
He says that?
That's what he says. Right. Yeah.
We tried that one before, and people were like, no, we want you to hear our whole album as in sequence. And people are like you play them live? And like,
oh, yeah.
We've never played the whole album straight, start to finish. But so of course, I'm not the guy that said, no, we want you to hear it. Yeah, because that would be an absolute lie.
Yeah. Yeah, Garth Brooks has some weird things. Of course, Garth Brooks is being currently harassed.
And away we go.
By Tom Segura. So it's up.
Go. There
you go.
It's up there.
Beautiful. It's out there in the ether.
It's out there in the ether.
So why have you guys not had anything on streaming up until this moment?
I can't. I love my brothers. I'm just going to take the fifth on that one.
Okay. So there was some sort of internal discussion.
Or no discussion.
Or no discussion.
Yeah, just the typical tool time of like, what? There was a meeting?
Mm. Well, again, this is what you get with great artists. You don't get great artists who are also the best promoters.
Correct.
The ones who are the best promoters, usually they're not the best artists.
Here's also what we're going to do today.
You doing another thing? Is this like one of them late night things where you're selling knives?
Oh, yeah.
Extra?
Yeah, do you want a knife? Because I sell them. We also have some old stock in beta. And
samurai swords and shit.
Yeah. No, I'm going to announce the name of the new album.
Ooh.
You like that?
Yeah, you doing it on your phone first?
Fear.
Of a black planet?
And Fear of a black planet.
That sounds
fear
catchy.
Inoculum. Yeah, white
innocuous.
Guy spinning out an album called Fear of a Black Planet would fucking really go over well.
And yeah, that would be the least woke thing you could do in 2019.
Yeah, Conway Cironi would buy the first copy. Fear Inoculum is the name of the album.
Uh-huh.
Fear Inoculum.
Who'd you say would buy the first album?
I'm not going to say that again.
I didn't hear what you said.
I might have said Cowboy Cironi.
Cowboy Cironi?
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
I don't know, because he wears that cowboy hat, and I just assume that.
He's got a lot of black friends.
Does he?
You're out of line.
I'm totally out of line.
He trains with all these black guys.
So now he's going to be mad at me. Now I got to apologize
to him. He'll think you're joking. He probably won't hear this.
All right.
He's probably too busy jumping a jet ski over a bridge.
I'm just jealous of his hat. So August 30th.
You can get one of them hats. You got some money. You got a hat of your own.
Yes, I do.
It's like a Sinatra hat.
That's
if you weren't so cool, that would be a douchebag hat.
That's some Breaking Bad shit right there.
I like it.
You like that?
I like it on you.
I like it on you. Looks good on you.
It does. There's things that people, like you could pull off one of those buckskin pioneer jackets with the fray. You could pull, you know, they have what is that stuff called? The tassels that hang down from the sides of the jackets?
And away we go.
And away we go.
Yeah,
you put it on Instagram as well.
I just put it on Instagram first.
You're a madman.
We'll get it on Twitter in a minute because I got more important things to
talk
about.
Now people will shut the fuck up. They'll leave you alone. I like that little setup too that you got there with the laptop / iPad. I didn't know that they made that kind of a case that doubles as a keyboard.
Yeah, that's great.
And, yeah, look at you.
All right.
Farmers with technology.
Right. Beep, beep, boop, beep.
Beep, beep. So how's the wine business?
It's good. We're a little late this year. Things are about 2 weeks behind.
So I wanted to ask you this because this is something that, like a lot of people that are dealing with in the Arizona area, that you guys had a lot of rain, right?
Yeah.
So I know like hunters and people that are like into the wildlife and everything that are really excited about this fall because there's so much moisture. It's like the animal populations would be very healthy.
Yes, and I mean, it's, you know, with anything, there's always going to be both sides of that.
Mm-hmm.
With extra rain in the spring comes extra foliage, extra ground cover, extra grass.
Right, and they fuck with the root systems?
No, then then there's extra fires.
Because
then when the rain dries up, you have all this extra fuel.
Yeah.
So fires, there's probably going to be a pretty intense fire season.
I've been evacuated 3 times.
Yeah.
I got evacuated in October. We came real close, burnt 3 houses right in front of us. We were in the epicenter of that Woosley fire.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. But, you know, it sucks and it's terrible. But if you live through it, the thing that it lets you know is you're not your shit. You're not your stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And when we left, you know, we had to wake our kids up at 2:00 in the morning, and I said to my wife, "I'm like, you know, so we're fine. I'm just grabbing my laptop and some fucking underwear. You know, you go to a store and buy new pants. And like, if you lose all your stuff, you're alive."
The only thing I know, I make sure I know where it's at is the photo album of all the photos that I haven't scanned or whatever on my cloud or whatever. Grab the photo album and the dogs, and then remember to grab the family.
Yeah, remember that. That's important. But yeah, it's like natural. There's something crazy, but that's one of the things that I really do miss about living on the East Coast with the horrible winters is that there's something comforting in the brutal force of nature that just forces you to recognize that you are helpless. Mm. You're helpless to the blizzard.
Yeah, Michigan. I remember, you know, the drifts on the side of the road.
Fuck.
5 feet, 10 feet.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You still make it. You still make your way to school.
You get there. Yeah. You get there. But there's something about people are so fucking cool when it's really snowy. Like everybody's more humble. They're like, oh shit. It's like it puts you in your place.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yes. we talked a while ago. Maybe we were talking about this idea of this sit down. Remember, I kind of talked about that a little bit, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to do this. And of course, I'm so busy. Everything that with what I got going on, I would never be able to pull this off. I would never be like, hey, I'm going to be the executive producer on this idea that I had.
Right.
So I thought this might be a good forum to go, hey, you and I t-ball it up to go, somebody run with this, because I think it's something that needs to happen. And we can take about 5 minutes to riff on what it shouldn't be.
Okay.
Right? Because I think that's really that's kind of what it comes down to, is trying to make sure that we're not – it just doesn't turn into some other clickbait reality TV show.
Right.
Right? Because that's not really the point of it.
So what are you thinking?
Okay. Well, you and I were discussing – there's like all this stuff going on in the world. Everybody's divided and freaking out and going down the dopamine rabbit hole of clickbait, and we can talk about that.
Mm.
I feel like the polarization of everybody has a position. They're taking up this stance and this cause. And you know, I get that. And to feel connected, to feel like you're part of a movement for injustice or whatever, I completely get that you need to do that. But I think at some point when you start fighting with your neighbor, you start to kind of lose connection. And I think these things, man, these are just – they're a poison in terms of – dividing people and forgetting they have these conversations openly. So
yeah.
The concept, we're going to lay it out. The idea is that we find six different people from completely different backgrounds that have a very strong feeling about something that they feel strongly about, just something, whatever it is. And we get them on camera or in writing, whatever. They state their position. And the idea is to get these people together with each other and not talk about what they don't agree on. Find the things they agree on and just build on the things that they can agree on.
Mm.
And then at the end of it, we go back and make sure we re-interview them. And the way that they went into the thing, whatever their statement was about who they are, doesn't change. They believe what they believe, but in that, without compromising the core of who they are, they end up finding in somebody else an agree to disagree position where they can actually talk to each other and find out what they do like.
No, I feel like one-on-one in person with no one around, people are much more likely to have those things.
Mm-hmm.
The real problem is when it's being projected to the world and you're looking for likes and you're looking for people to agree, you're looking for support. And that's one of the really toxic things about the phones and social media, is that everybody's playing for likes and the virtue signaling and the throwing up the flag of righteousness. It's so common.
And I was talking to a friend of mine. She's working with a young woman doing a research paper on the very thing, and she kind of handed me some research that kind of – I kind of suspected, and I was like, what about this, and this? And kind of not off topic, but kind of on topic. The purpose when OxyContin first came out was that they discovered in that drug something that interrupted and helped fix people who were, you know, meth, heroin addicts. It was helping them get sober and getting off the heroin because it replaced that feeling that they were getting, the dopamine womb-like feeling, that escapist thing. That they were getting from heroin, so they would get, you know, use the OxyContin. Problem is that unless you cut your hands off, you can't. You're going to take another one.
So right.
So you just replace the heroin with another thing that's like the dopamine dump. And this is they're now finding that whole process of likes and validating. Or not validating, you know, then you get depressed because nobody likes your post and you're constantly looking like a rat, you know, basically the analogy of the rat in the aquarium that's keeps hitting the cocaine button.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It affects the same part of your brain, and they're finding there's that absolute connection. So if you can't go 10 minutes without looking at your phone, you are an addict.
You
have to understand that the actual chemical reaction in your body to the charge you get on that and the fact that it's fed by adjusted titles. Whatever the headline is, if that's not getting it, they adjust the headline to see if it gets you now, and then you click on it, go, oh, that's the one, and then they adjust that one, and it's the rat hitting the cocaine button.
Well, I'm glad you used that analogy, because one of the things they found out about that, because some biologists didn't like the – they didn't jive with them, the rats with the cocaine. So then they thought about the environment that the rats lived in, and they said, well, let's look at this environment, because these rats are in a cage. This is a very unnatural environment. There's lights on. There's people staring at them. So instead, they put rats in a very rat-like environment, woody and grass and trees and in a natural rat world. Yep. Guess what? Rats didn't fuck with the coke. They left it alone.
Right.
They only hit the coke when they were just destroyed, like their life right. was turned upside down, and they're living in this completely unnatural environment. They're living in prison. So right. when you're in prison, you'll do the coke. But when they were in a very natural world, they didn't find it attractive at all.
Okay, so on that note, I would suggest the people will now have read those things that I put up about the new album and everything. So I'm going to request, I'm going to beg people who have seen it now. I'm not sure where this is going live. It's just going, you know, tonight. It's going to go up.
Couple
or it's
going
to go tomorrow. Okay, great. I'm going to beg as a favor to you and to me. For people who read that news and are excited about that news, to do us all a favor, turn your fucking phone off, turn your computer off, turn your TV off, go for a long walk, just go for a long walk somewhere, even if it's in the mall or whatever, just go somewhere else, go out, go talk to a stranger, and just find out something about them. No matter what it is, just go talk to somebody. Just go out of your house and go have a conversation with somebody.
You're gonna somebody. Get people stabbed.
Yeah, probably. Please
go talk to a stranger
unless they have a knife, and do not talk to them because they have a knife. Does that cover the lawyers? If I say
yes.
that,
yeah, you don't want.
Do not approach
to do
violent,
illegal.
Unstable people.
Don't do anything dangerous.
Yeah, don't do anything dangerous, but just go out. Just go out for a walk.
You have a family. You have. Young ones.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach that with the kids?
Well, you can see the fight and the fury and the crazy meltdowns that we have with our 5-year-old when we're saying it's time to come to dinner, put your iPad down.
Right.
And it's an absolute fucking meltdown. And it's insane.
Yeah.
And when we actually get it away from her and we take her away and go, and we have to explain, honey, this thing is not your family. We're your family. This thing doesn't care about you. The stuff on the other end of this thing doesn't care about you. We care about you.
Let's play games?
Let's go get the ducks. And we'll go get the ducks. And then within 5 minutes, she's forgotten about the iPad.
Because she's playing with ducks.
Now she's playing with ducks.
Right.
We're in the aviary with the finches, and mm-hmm. we're out checking the wine. We're checking the ferments. Or she comes down while we're trying to record music, and she's like sitting on the bed listening to what we're doing.
Mm.
She's involved in doing things, and she forgets about this. And you can forget about this. I'm telling you, you can do it.
Yes, you can do it.
I use it for, you know, I use it for business, but I got caught up for a while there. I would like find a video game on my phone. I'm going to play this video game. Before I know, I've like spent like $500 in the in-app purchases and shit. And like, wait a minute, I'm doing the exact same things that I did when I first started the game. It's no different. I just need better armor.
Those
and I got to buy the armor.
Those in-app purchases are the devil.
Yeah. So I delete those things. You just get caught up in it. Mm-hmm. You can't – it's something you don't – people don't realize how – and you've probably heard it with a bunch of people in here saying the same thing. Like mm-hmm. it's rewiring the way that we think and the way we behave.
Yes.
And the only way to undo that or get away from it is to literally turn it off or unplug. Just mm-hmm. walk away. Go do something.
Well, I know so many people that have switched to flip phones, a bunch of them. They're just like they have
drug dealers.
No,
Joe.
Comics mostly. Oh. they have a flip phone to make calls, so someone can.
So
reach
drug
them.
Dealers.
No. And then they keep like a computer for the other stuff or an iPad. Like Ari, my friend Ari, he'll you can call him on his flip phone. He'll talk to you, but if you text him, you're making him do that fucking thumb thing that we used to have to do.
He hates you.
Four times to get an S.
You end up being a part of a bit.
Yeah, you're a nightmare. And so he doesn't have any apps. There's none of that, but he'll do like Instagram and Twitter and shit on his iPad.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's the only way he does it.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. It's like for him too. He just recognizes that he can't. He'll if he starts getting on it, he'll be on it for 7-8 hours, and then he'll be furious at himself. Like, what the fuck have I done?
And I've done the same thing. I mean, even though I've got 3 bands and 3 wineries and a restaurant and all those things, I still waste. I end up wasting time on these things, and I could get more done if I didn't have these things in my way.
Do you read comments?
I try not to, just because people are just, you know, they need to have a voice and they need to be identified, and there are a lot of mean-spirited things out there. And I feel like the world we're living in right now, there's so much back and forth, and there's so much posturing, and there's so much disconnected behavior that we really just need people to reconnect with their loved ones, especially in your community. Because as things are progressing in the world, with the population and climate change, which I believe there's some stuff coming, you need to connect with people. You really need to figure things out.
Do you think
the
shit's going to hit the fan?
Yeah, I do.
Ooh.
Yeah.
When? How much time we have? Where should we go?
Well, I mean, I thought you had some connection with these
things.
I'm going
to go north.
Okay.
I'm going to go to some wooded area.
All right. Well, you'll be fine.
I think the move
I don't think it's going to happen right now. I think, you know, based on some of the things that I've kind of seen online and you know, the chit-chat and overhearing conversations with people that are, you know, part of NASA and those kind of things. And they kind of go, we've got 400 years and the planet's done.
Whoa. 400 years?
Yeah. So if you think, for me, I plan, right? A planner. That means that if we're not here in 400 years, well, when does that start? Well, that started yesterday, really. I mean, when you think about it, there's natural resources and water source, it's all those things that start to kind of fall apart, and then weird diseases start showing up, and weird funguses that take you out that didn't before.
Well, another thing to think is we have only been human for 250,000 years, whatever it is. There's going to be something next.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, it's coming.
Right.
It's going to be something that can survive the heat.
So if this stuff can figure out how to cool itself, it'll become
is that
self.
Ace Frehley in the back
might,
of your phone?
It may be.
Star Child.
Hey.
I was a huge Ace Frehley. I met Ace Frehley when I was 7 years old.
Yeah. He's a completely stable guy.
For sure. He's a lot like you.
Who thinks the world's going to end in 400 years? I'm such an idiot. Why did I say that out loud?
I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think the world's going to end, but I think it's very likely that human beings will be drastically diminished.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like I guess I should back up. That's my point. The thing that we just are so arrogant about is that we're somehow included in the future. We're just not included. We are not included.
Well, we've only been here for, 300 whatever thousand years.
Right.
That's not that long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even Neanderthals, it's half a million years before us.
Right. So going back to now, though, and us getting along now and surviving better over the next little bit, going back to our, the people talking to each other.
Yeah.
How do we tee this up so we can take it and not ruin it with a reality TV show? Because, every reality TV show you see, it's been manipulated. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll poke the person that they know is going to blow up at some point so that it causes drama. And again, the dopamine dump and everybody says, oh my God.
Yeah. They're basically doing clickbait in terms of how they're programming the television
show. So how do we make this so that it's not an opportunity to make a buck and to do that, like a genuine healing moment?
It can be done. I think it's got to be done online, and it's got to be done with no one involved other than you. And whoever you want to be involved, advertisers,
I
no
do with people. It.
I mean, that doesn't even have to be you,
right?
But whoever the person is,
right,
that facilitates this.
Right.
But you just can't have any producers. You can't have anybody with a vested interest in its success.
Okay,
it has to be done just purely for the idea. Purely for the exercise of getting people to communicate that have disagreements and realizing that so much of people dig their heels in the sand and they want to be right more than they want to be more than they want to get along and be harmonious with each other.
Right. And I feel like that's look, I acknowledge that there's monsters in the world. There's fucking monsters. They're in us. We have our own monsters inside of us. There's other monsters that have been nurtured over years to hate each other or hate somebody else, whatever. There's that nurturing, nature versus nurture monster. I get that. I'm talking about the people that you can figure out a way to, like, let's figure this out.
Most of us.
Yes. Most of us can figure out a way to get along.
And most of us can go south, too. Most of us in the wrong environment with the wrong people and the wrong feelings and the wrong drugs and the wrong jobs and the wrong community, we could be horrific neighbors. Or
hitting the coke button.
Yeah. Or we could be a part of a community. And I just think that we're not designed for this iPhone fucking world. We're not designed for it. And this getting likes and, you know, and arguing politics on Twitter for 16 hours a day. There's a few people that I follow on Twitter that I only follow them to see how toxic social media is to their life. I go and I look at their feed. And, I mean, I know what they're doing. They're just fighting with people all the time. But I'll look at it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this guy started at 7:30 in the morning. And at 9:30 at night, he's still going. And he's posting every 14 minutes. And he's probably reading in between that. So his entire day is comprised of debating, you know, AOC's value and merits versus Trump and versus this and that. And whether or not Elizabeth Warren's Native American. And it's like chaos. It's just chaos.
Trump
is a... He's got his name on buildings, and he's a host of a reality show.
He's the politician.
He's not really a politician.
Yeah,
he's draining
like,
the swamp. Do you know what the
swamp
is?
I'm not a big fan of politicians.
Me neither.
Yeah.
He's an anti-politician, though. You might like him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But is he in politics?
Well, he's the president of the United States.
Yeah, I don't like politicians. Yeah. So.
Is anybody good at that? Who, if you had a magic wand, you can make someone president, who would you make it?
Oh man,
you have a guy? I wouldn't wish.
I wouldn't wish that
Arlo
on anybody. Yeah, Arlo Guthrie, not Bill Hicks,
Ken Kesey.
Although he would, because that would probably change him.
Do you think it would?
Yeah, I think
it changes.
Again,
it's right?
Like it's a reality TV show. It's going to change you when the cameras are aimed at you.
Mm-hmm.
When you replace recognition with attention, it fucks you up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like at a young age, young band, like child actors.
Do you know anybody that's a child actor?
I know people that are exposed to that world early on, and it's a dreadful mess. It's a dreadful mess what they have to go through because they don't understand that attention is not recognition.
Yeah.
There's
developing.
Few people that have actually made it out of that.
Like, I don't think anybody has.
Leonardo DiCaprio, I feel like he's still an artist, right? He's like
He holds
his own as an artist.
Yes.
I don't know what he's like behind the scenes in his house. Is he like fucking shredding cats with his teeth because he's out of his mind?
It would come out by now.
Oh, okay.
The worst thing he does, he seems to like to fuck young, pretty girls, which is weird.
Yeah. I feel like that poison of the attention is kind of like that. It's like that dopamine dump.
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's the likes, the like buttons.
Well, it's right? One of the things that I really admire about your choices, that you decided to get the fuck out of the epicenter.
Yeah.
You're like, this is just too much gravity.
Yeah, there's too much. There's too much.
This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. With summer coming up, I bet a lot of you have plans to travel, which is great. You should get out and experience the world. But I also know how stressful traveling can be. That's why I want to recommend Simply Safe. It provides award-winning security and peace of mind so you can have one less thing to worry about when you're away from your home this summer. I think Simply Safe is a great option for home security because it protects your whole home, inside and out. It has a variety of cameras and sensors to detect the worst of the worst, including fires, floods, break-ins, and more. Simply Safe has your back, and I especially like how there's no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it out confidently and really see if Simply Safe is a good fit for you and your place. Everyone deserves to have peace of mind when they're away from home, and Simply Safe can help give you that. So try it out today. Right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/Rogan. That's simplysafe.com/Rogan. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
And
so I don't know.
Just that's and also like the decision to start a winery and to like what you've done is kind of gone to the earth. I mean, it sounds corny, but really what you've done is that. I mean, obviously you have a very sophisticated farm system and you have acres and acres of vineyards, but what you're doing is the earth. You're growing, you're part of nature. And I think that grounding in nature in that way that you're doing it is a perfect antidote for like this rock star life, which is all.
But I mean, you know, that's a byproduct, I think, for me. But as far as the community, I'm finding that that core of the greenhouses and you know, growing vines, it's actually kind of feeds into what we're talking about as far as the conversation. Because I talked to batshit Portlandia types. I talked to crystal clutchers. I talked to staunch Republicans that, you know, look at me like I'm going to start trouble no matter what, you know. But I can actually talk to everybody because we're growing things and we're building our communities. So as far as politicians are concerned, the ones higher up, they got there by being really good con men and liars, I feel like, in general. That's what we see. But down, you know, at this level, at the local level, you're just trying to figure out simple problems that you're trying to solve within your state, within your county, within your town. Those politicians are, you know, you got to work with them, but they're less crazy. They're less owned, as it were. Yeah. So you can actually have conversations with all these people, especially if you have a grounding in terms of literally the ground.
Yeah, literally the ground. I mean, it's a part of the whole human experience of growing things.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you've done is pretty badass. It's the ultimate smart move, you know, in terms of like dealing with especially like the rock star world is so strange because it's so image based with so many, you know. I mean, there's a bunch that don't even want to talk. I've had rock stars that wanted to come on here, but they wanted to only do it at night, and they only wanted to have it with no video. They wanted it to be audio only, and I'm like, look.
We don't want steak. I just don't want it to be meat. Yeah.
Well, they were cultivating a thing. It has to be dark in the room. I want candles. Like, okay, I'm out. We're out. We're gone. This is not.
Yeah, that's not. But you know, I remember like they were probably messed up. The reason they're doing what they're doing is because something happened to them earlier on. Where there was an aggressive, you know, teacher, uncle, somebody that just kind of, you know, a dad who was drunk. You know, there's the stuff that pushes them in that direction to be, you know, expressive, controlling and, you know, wanting to be acknowledged and do it exactly my way because I was powerless as a child.
Yeah, for sure, right? And then that's the thing you see with actors too, and they finally get some success. The whole process of auditioning for things is so brutal because you just, do you like me? Do you like me? I want you to like me. Yeah. Do I get the part? I don't get the part. And then you go through this for years, and then finally you do get it, and then finally you're the fucking man. Like, oh, look, it's Mike. Mike's the star. Hello, Mike. Mike, look, we've got your bagels ready, Mike, and your trailer's ready. And then Mike is, get me a fucking coffee. Like, oh, Mike, anything for you. And people act in this disproportionate, very insane way. And then as they get more and more famous, they feel like they're entitled to this treatment.
Yes.
Which gets real strange.
Yes. I feel like I've seen it in our world between bands, you know, my bands, Tool, Pussifer, Perfect Circle, all of them. Mm-hmm. You get to spots where you feel entitled, you're arrogant, you are greedy. Like all those things are in all of us, and you have to check yourself when they come up.
Yeah.
Or not, and you end up being like the bands that you are talking about. Like,
yeah.
It has to be this way or I won't do it. That's kind of dumb. But
well, bands are odd too, right? Because you're managing personalities. You're not just – it's not just like one person with a creative vision and they put it down. You have all these other people and their ideas and you got to work it out together and there's all sorts of weird shit going on, right?
Sorry.
What'd you do? You shut it off?
I was checking my likes. No, I was just making sure because I posted that, and Dino. I just wanted to make sure Dino knew that that we posted it because then he can talk to
release the hounds.
Yeah, release the hounds.
Yeah.
Fuck, a lot of weight lifted off my chest, dude. Like just
is it? That.
Yeah, yeah. It took. That's a lot of work. We are the four of us are a lot of fucking work.
And just to get it.
Just to get agreement. Anywhere. Oh my god.
Just to get an agreement where you're okay. We're all agreeing. Yeah. We're gonna release it.
Yeah. Everything's a fucking committee meeting and it always gets shut down.
What's the hurdle?
Success. When you get successful, you think you're right about everything. Mm. And you're pretty sure as that individual, you know, I am right and you are wrong because I'm successful and we're successful because of me, not because of you. And so it's not that bad with us. But I'm just, it's like
those, but that's the dynamic.
Yeah, there's a dynamic of like, you know, I want this and I've always gotten my way and that's why we're successful, is because I don't compromise on this or that. And it's like, I'm the same way.
Do you find that as a parent, you sort of have more empathy for like fucked up behavior and thinking, because you kind of understand like, oh, you got bad data as a developing unit.
Yeah,
you were fed the wrong food or the wrong information, rather. You know, food.
I think we discussed this before. Like, I think there's a 50-50 on that. Like, you can only guide your kids so much. They're gonna be what they're gonna be. They're gonna grow up the way they want to grow up. All you can try to do is go like, okay, let's just teach you about stoves before you actually have to learn about stoves.
Yeah,
the wrong way.
So you don't light the house on fire.
Yeah. So you can kind of do some of that stove work early, but eventually they're going to have to do some of that stove work on their own.
Yeah.
But an instructor in our high school, which is funny because he's extreme Republican. I'm, you know, the liberal kid, but he used to share a lot of really, you know, nuggets, right? Wisdom. And he would always have us say, you know, what is an intelligent person? A person who learns from experience. Whose experience? Other people's experience.
Right, yeah.
Not just your own.
Right.
Learn from your own experiences, but also pay attention that you don't really need to play Russian roulette to find out it ends wrong.
Don't get close to the bison at Yellowstone.
Don't try to get a selfie with the bison.
See that video?
No, is it awful?
9-year-old kid, the whole fucking family. They apparently got within 5 yards of this fucking bison.
No, they... Yes. Oh, come on,
and then
man.
The bison charged and the 9-year-old kid went flying through the air. The thing about the 9-year-old kid landing, though, it seems like she landed on her feet, so I'm hoping she's okay. I haven't read anything to the contrary. So in my mind, she brushed it off, and she's like, "Ooh, can't believe I flipped like that."
Well, I mean, it's like if she survived, maybe a broken bone would be a good reminder.
Yeah. Sprained ankle. I want the kid to have a sprained ankle.
Yes.
But I don't even want the kid. I want the fucking parent to get one of those weird diseases where, like, when a twin falls down, you
bison
hurt.
Bison disease.
No.
Okay.
It's like the mom's got it. Here it is. We'll watch it show you. This bison just – look at the newscaster.
Boom.
See how she lands on her feet, though?
Yeah. Come on.
I'm pretty sure she's okay. Watch this. Whoop. Bang. I think she's all right. Maybe. I think she's all right. The thing is, did it trample her after? Look at these fucking assholes. This is the problem with zoos. People in this city life that we live, where people do not know what the fuck a wild animal really is.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to go anywhere near those things.
We're going to find out.
They have instincts to stop predation. And their instinct is to charge head forth with this fucking 200...
With a dude with a red shirt on, too. Like, didn't you watch?
Asshole. That's funny. No, you should have juked him. Should have stepped in for the little kid, you piece of shit. God, over here, you fuck. I mean, right. It's a 2,000-pound gigantic animal that has to fight off wolves and mountain lions and bears, and
yeah.
You're going to have your kid 5 yards away from it?
We've had a lot of friends, musician friends, that go, yeah, I want to come out, man. I want to work harvest. You really don't.
No, you don't want to work.
You really don't want to do that.
Stop.
I mean, I want you to, and I can make it a pleasant experience for you. I absolutely can. I can make it go fairly seamless, but you're going to learn some things you didn't know about yourself. Fact.
Well, you have to work hours.
Yeah.
Real hours.
That's why we can't go to dinner tonight. We've got apples waiting. I have some Chardonnay already fermenting.
You have apples?
I'm going to make cider in the morning. That's what we're
going to
do.
So what do? You pick the apples now to make cider in the morning?
I have about 40 trees. My dad and Randy, she's kind of in charge of the orchards and greenhouses. You saw some of the greenhouse footage. Yeah, Randy's doing that. So my dad and her picked probably about a half a ton, maybe a ton of apples already off our trees. So I get back tonight. I fly back tonight. And then in the morning, we're shredding apples into a bin, like applesauce, and going to inoculate it. And
inoculate it with what?
I already have some Chardonnay that's fermenting, so I'll take like a gallon of the Chardonnay and just put it in with the apple so that it'll just start the fermentation.
So like bacteria from the Chardonnay, yeast.
The yeast is already fermenting, yeah.
Wow, that's badass. Yeah.
So I'll inoculate it with something that's already, it's a wild yeast that's already fermenting, and so put it in with those. let it finish up.
And do you do this at a stable temperature? Like, does it have to be?
We normally keep the cider. We've been kind of keeping it like, you know, 70, 68 in a cool room, mm-hmm. not out in the sun hot and not back in a cold room. Kind of, you know, between 65 and 72.
Like, how much cider will you make with all that? How much did you say? Half a ton?
We did. We're going to have 1,000. There's more apples coming. So we'll probably end up with about 8 barrels worth of cider. And that's about, good Lord, 200 cases. So about 300 cans. You know, like 300 flats of cans. So, yeah.
So it's fairly limited production in terms of like commercially.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be commercial. It'd just be in our tasting rooms.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. And so how long is the process? How long does it have to ferment?
Well, once they're picked, we can actually – the cool thing about apples is they kind of keep – kind of just kind of stack them up in the walk-in cooler on site. And then we gather them all up when there's a critical mass, bring them in, shred them. So that day we'll shred them. Probably about a week and a half later, the fermentation's done. The hard part is separating the applesauce from the juice. That's the hard part. So a lot of people will get them super ripe, and they crush and press them, so they just get the juice right off the must, and they ferment just the juice. Other people will shred them, so there's just like applesauce, and then they'll try to press that through a very specific press that kind of gets the juice away from the
must. What's the benefit of the former versus the latter?
I do the third one. I make it, I shred it so there's applesauce, and I'm actually fermenting on the applesauce.
Hmm.
And then I press, as it starts to separate, I'm starting to pull the juice out once it's fermented.
Now, have you done this because you tried the other methods and you like the flavor of this one better?
So how many times you've guessed, I guess I've done this?
40?
Right. That's because I'm a liar. And I'm good at it. No, I've done it once, and it turned out. So because I want to make sure that wasn't an accident, I'm going to do it exactly like I did it last time to see if it turns out the same.
And when you did it, did you do it based on someone's recommendation, or did you have someone guiding you through it?
I did it based on my experiences with fermenting grapes on skins.
Really?
Yeah, I just kind of looked at that process and went, okay, I see how we're going to get some stuff. And our cider is extremely dry. It's not a sweet cider you normally would think of, like slightly sweet cider. This is like a acidic, dry cider, very refreshing.
And is this a cider that's available at your restaurant?
Yeah, at the Osteria down in Scottsdale, at the American Vineyards location in Scottsdale, and at the Caduceus Cellars Tasting Room and the Pulsifer Store in the 4-8.
If someone, where would I go? Where would I go if I wanted to try your food and drink your wine? Like, what's the spot? Where would you recommend?
Well, the easiest
place.
If you want to take a long trip, you want to go up to Jerome and Cottonwood area to go to those locations. There's three locations of mm-hmm. different things happening in each one of those. But if you're just kind of in Phoenix area, we have a location over in Scottsdale, in Old Town Scottsdale.
Oh, I'm definitely in Phoenix. When am I in Phoenix? I've got 2 nights in Phoenix at the Comerica Theater.
There you go. So there you're going to hit.
That's like soon.
You're going to hit Pizzeria Bianco. You have to hit there. You got to get Southern Rail, Beckett's Table.
December? Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was like soon.
Beckett's Table, Southern Rail, Tarbell's, F&B, which is in Scottsdale.
Scottsdale has a reputation for cocaine and parties.
Yeah.
But it's also got great food.
Yes,
it's a very interesting place. It's a lot of people just have escaped some of the problems in other cities and gone to Scottsdale.
That is a fact. Yes.
It's a weird place. I've always found it really weird.
We had some decent success up in the valley, like with the vibe that we got with the farms, you know, farm to table, not just any farm, our farms to your mm-hmm. table vibe, and the, you know, our vines to your glass scenario. But it's funny, down in Scottsdale, like, okay, this is going to go. We did it. And we're like, we're going to need more makeup. I'm going to need implants on this.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's a weird party town in that way.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of really pretty women, but a specific kind of pretty, like porn star pretty.
The dudes are super pretty, too.
They're pretty, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Handsome, spiked hair.
Yeah. They got the
tan, jacked and tan.
Oh, yeah. You got a tanning bed? You should check into it.
Motorcycles, no helmet. Living on the edge.
Yes, I mean, if you're going to be in Scottsdale, it's a great location. But there's so many great chefs and restaurants in that area.
There really are.
In downtown. And if you're going to be a Comerica, you're right by Bianco's. You got to go to Bianco's.
Bianco's. What is that? Is that an Italian joint?
Pizzeria Bianco. Chris Bianco. He's got two locations, Town and Country, and he's got one downtown. But he also has his other place. Oh, my God. I'm going to forget the name right now. That's so dumb. I'm going to get so much shit for this. His other place, and right next to Bianco's at Town and Country. Mm. Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. It's great. Handmade pastas and the dishes are amazing. Yeah,
I'll check in with you in December.
Yeah,
you'll remember it.
I'll remember it by then. Gotta get off this CBD oil, man.
It's rotting your brain, man. You can't be too relaxed.
Right.
Yeah, that's CBD. Fucking, it saves vacations for me. I don't stress out. Like it's I think it's one of the best things I've ever tried for anxiety. It's weird, and I didn't even know I had anxiety until I started taking CBD. I take these little jammies. This will fuck you up though. This is one in one. This is one part CBD.
Don't put this in your butt.
Yeah,
do not put this in your butt.
You can put it in your butt, but you will get nervous. You're gonna get paranoid. But it's a weird, like, the CBD THC high is a different high. Because CBD does something to alleviate anxiety. It sort of just like makes you comfortable with your own demise. It lets you the existential angst is...
The flames don't seem so hot.
It's all, you're like, yeah, we're all going to die. Yeah, right. But right now, we're not dead. Cool. Look at the colors. Feel the warmth of the sun. But this is not like this is not functional. Like, you don't want to... I don't do this if I have anything super important to do, but just CBD oil,
mm-hmm.
I just find it puts you in a great place.
Okay.
Like it's,
but internal, not topical.
Internal. Yeah, okay. Topical is really good for muscle aches.
Okay.
It's really good. Really, probably the best thing I've ever found for like alleviating soreness and stiffness and stuff like that.
Because I was in Europe, all of a sudden discovered that they actually had ibuprofen like cream to put on.
Ibuprofen is terrible for you.
Right.
Really, really bad.
And what
for
I found out was that if you let your pets lick it, they get liver failure and die.
Whoa.
So don't.
Did you accidentally do that?
No, I had a person who works at the Humane Society. I mentioned that I found this stuff like just in desperation in Europe, like had some sore muscles, and she's like, "Don't let your pets lick that," because they were trying to figure out why these kittens were dying.
Oh God. My friend Cameron Haynes is a runner, and he runs marathons and he runs ultra marathons. He runs these 240-mile Moab fucking ridiculous runs that last 3 days. And he was having like all this joint pain. So he was taking ibuprofen every day. He was taking 800 milligrams, not just once, but sometimes twice a day. And he was just constant aches and pains. So Dr. Rhonda Patrick had been on the podcast. She was talking about the dangers of ibuprofen and about what it does to your gut biome and how much it fucks you up. And it actually creates inflammation. And it actually can cause stress, or it can cause strokes rather, and all sorts of horrible, horrible things. So I call him up and I said, "Hey, man, that stuff's fine to take every now and then for a headache, but you can't take that shit every day. You just can't do it, and you're fucking your body up. Just get off of it." And I sent him the recording. He listened to it. He's like, "Jesus Christ, I don't have a stroke." So he gets off of it. All his pain goes away. It turned out his pain was being caused not just by the running, but by the fact that he was creating inflammation by destroying his gut biome by taking 800 milligrams of ibuprofen two times a day. So the idea of like fixing himself was fucking him up. It's right. Crazy.
That's chasing that, you know.
Yeah, so fuck ibuprofen.
Okay.
Well, I take it every now and then, but you can't take it every day.
So you're a liar.
No, I mean, just saying, don't take it every day. But if I had like a bad headache, I'll take some Tylenol or some shit. It's not Tylenol, right? Advil. Yeah.
Advil.
Yeah. I mean, Advil. It's just not something you're supposed to take all the time.
I did for a minute and I realized it was doing what you said.
Yeah.
So I was more achy than I should be. And then, like, you know, bad night out, you didn't drink enough water.
Right.
Okay.
Boom, boom, throbbing head. Yeah. And then you're fine. Yeah. Yeah. You can still do that. But CBD does that too. It's better. Better for you than all that stuff. There seems to be no side effects.
Okay. All right.
The side effects is people think you're a hippie. That's the only side effect.
Right.
Right? If you say you're into CBD.
I've just talked so much shit about pot that now I got to backpedal and go, no, it was just a part of an elaborate joke.
Listen, man, I smoke pot all the time and I talk shit about pot. It's the people. It's the fucking people that are really into pot. They're annoying. They're annoying. Look at this.
Eddie's not in here, is he?
No. Eddie?
Okay. Maybe he's going to jump out from under the table.
No, he's going to. No. This is, I got this from. Is this from Tommy Chong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good Lord, that's a baseball bat.
Tommy Chong's not playing games. And he's been doing this since the 70s, and he's still alive. Seems to be fine. It smells scary. Like, you just smell it, and you're like, this is going to bring back memories that I don't want anymore.
We got rid of those. Why are you bringing those back?
The problem is dummies. The problem is not pot. It's like the problem with every single thing. Like, it's the problem is not skateboards. The problem is people want to ride skateboards in the edge of fucking skyscrapers, right?
Good point.
That's the problem. Yeah. It's like with everything. It's the implementation of the idea in a really stupid way. That's the problem.
All right.
It's not pot. It's people smoke pot all day.
But you can apply that to almost anything.
Yes.
You know, a hammer. You can destroy something with it. You can build something with it.
Exactly.
So it's not really the hammer. It's you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Got it. But there's some people that are functional on it all day. Like Be Real from Cypress Hill. I did his show. He's got this hot box show. I can't believe how high they get. They're high all day long, and then they keep going. We got so high before the show started. I was like, well, we must be done. We're going to go sit. He does this show called The Hot Box. And you sit in this beautiful old Cadillac and smoke weed and talk about life. And I was like, well, surely we're done. We can't be smoking more. Wrong. It gives you these bats of weed, and you climb into the car, and it's just a fucking thick cloud of smoke. Just Be Real. He doesn't fuck around. But he's lucid, completely functional. You talk to him. The guy exercises. He's healthy. He's real friendly.
Real friendly.
seems to work out great for him.
Yeah.
But not for everybody.
I'm the pot guy that's under the table freaking out.
Yeah.
That doesn't.
What do you think of? What bothers you when you get high?
I think just paranoia. Anything. A noise. A thought. You know, they're trying to get me. Like, it's super, like, paranoid.
Even if you just get a little pot? Just a little
Yep.
What about, try a little bit of this. It's a little bit of CBD. A little bit of pot.
Together. Joe.
No? Watch, I'll take one first. I'll show you. We're going to be fine. Yeah. No?
No, no. Nope. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, no.
Stick with wine.
Yeah.
Do you fuck with whiskey?
Yeah, I do. I got a thing, a little collaboration with Angel's Envy Bourbon out of Kentucky. They took some of my fortified wine barrels and took them, and they're finishing one of their ports in one of my barrels.
Ooh.
A couple of my barrels, yeah.
Ooh. So is port the same as whiskey?
Port is a fortified wine from Portugal.
Right.
So you can.
Oh, so they're a whiskey. They're an alcohol company.
Yes. Yeah. So Angel's Envy is bourbon.
Right.
They do rye and bourbon in Kentucky, and they have a whole thing about their Angel's Envy bourbon is finished in port barrels.
Oh.
So they'll find, you know, either get them from Europe or get them from California, where they're, you know, they're a fortified red barrel that's had wine in it, sweet, rich wine, and they finish the bourbon in these barrels.
Mm.
So now they have some of mine to do a special Caduceus collaboration.
You're one of those people that I talk to that I go, where the fuck does he get the time? Because I do a lot of things, but then I talk to someone like you, I'm like, no, I don't. No, you do a lot of things.
Well, it's just organizing your time and delegating.
Yeah,
I mean, because that's really what it is when you get. When you're younger, you want to go, I did that, I'm doing that. And then you realize, I can't do all of that. So I have friends, we are our team of people, like, I can't. We have a Pussifer store in Jerome, Arizona. And it has cut and sew. We do printing on shirts. We have a barber shop in it. We do a full new and used vinyl section.
A barber shop?
Yeah.
It's weird for a bald guy to have a barber shop.
I don't use it. except for, you know, the manscaping. New and used vinyl on top floor with all kinds of paraphernalia, like, you know, band stuff, but also like a whole kind of the gelato shop.
Do people go there hoping they're going to run into you?
Probably. But I don't run it. My wife does. She's absolutely. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it at all without her. She runs it top to bottom. All the ideas for all the Pussifer merch is all. It's all her. She does. She runs it. It's great. We just added a popcorn machine.
Ooh.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's just you do that and you do jiu-jitsu too.
Yeah.
How?
Well, here's the thing. I do jiu-jitsu. I just don't do it very well. Because I don't focus on it all day.
Yeah.
I've learned about jiu-jitsu over the years, and now I'm doing a little bit of Muay Thai. I suck at that too, but I'm doing some. I bought a bag.
Yeah?
Some gloves.
What kind of bag?
Fairtex? Fairtex, yeah.
That's a good bag for you, especially because you've had some hip issues, because it's not hard. It's a good bag to hit. I've got a couple different bags out there.
That tall one, though, is the one I want to have,
because
I got the shorter, fat one.
Right, yeah.
It seems pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's a different one.
And then the ball.
Mm-hmm. The ball's good, yeah.
The
ball's
sack. Great.
Yeah, the sack one
for
knees. That the one that I have, that heavy bag, is great. It's because it gives. Like, it's good for tendons and stuff, because, like, a lot of people, you hit those big, hard, heavy bags, and, you know, you can do that when you're young. But as you get older and you've got 20 years of blasting into bags full power, after a while your joints just start to say fuck you.
Yeah. Well, I'm finding that for me, my friend Todd got me into doing the Muay Thai, because he's like, look, we do jiu-jitsu so much, and on the road you're like, you know, you got some, like, we can only find this black belt in town to train with you, and he's 210, 220. So I'm, you know, trying to deal with this weight, and, like, I'm kind of sore now for the show, and I'm
that's not good.
The bed is not, you know traveling, the bed's never ideal, and you're in the bus, and you're bouncing down the road, and some, like, it's like a coffin, right, that has some kind of palsy all the way down the road. You're just blah, 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 trying to sleep. So he went. Let's do some Muay Thai, because it's more opening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's left,
sure,
right. You know, you're kind of going back and you're doing more twisting and just that rhythm. And it's a good workout. Like,
it's easier on your joints too.
Yeah. So I got into it for that reason, just to kind of stand upright more.
So you have someone holding your pads for you and shit like that?
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of, you know, all over the world. He's got, you know, great trainers everywhere. So we roll in, and it's funny though. You go into one guy and, like, yeah, do this. Like, what are you doing? Don't do that. Like, the last guy said I was supposed to do that. And, like, you know, different trainer, different
Yeah, you get a lot of that for sure. Yeah. There's a lot of people that know for sure that they have the way to do it.
Watching the infinite number of how you wrap your hands videos on YouTube. No, bro. This is the way you
do it. There's only one way.
It's only one way. This is the best way.
My favorite is the ones you slide on and then you just spin it and they Velcro on. It's like got gel that goes over the knuckles.
Done.
They slide on like a little glove. It's great.
All right.
I love those. It only has like maybe like 4 feet of actual wrap. Mm-hmm. And you slide these things on. You go like that. Bang. Yeah.
But the headache of me sitting there like watching the tube, like.
Some guys get super serious about folding over the knuckles, too. You fold 7 times, and then you put it over the knuckles, then wrap it down, then through the fingers.
Isn't that what the bag's for? The gloves? The gloves are supposed to be the padding.
Why it helps. More, but also what helps is really strengthening your hands. There's a lot of the problem that people have is that they don't do anything with their hands. They just hit things, which is fine. But to really reinforce the structure of your hand, you should use those Captains of Crush grips. Smash down those things. They'll create better tendon strength strength.
Don't have like a mullet and sitting like a Camaro and do that hand thing like this.
Those guys can't use the Captains of Crush ones. Those motherfuckers are like 160 plus pounds. Didn't you say you got one that's like 190 or something? What do you got?
Yeah, the level 3 is 280.
What do they look like?
It's like a knurled steel pipe or aluminum outside and thick, heavy spring. It's like a hand gripper, but it's like a real, legit, hardcore one. And so I'll do it this way, then I'll flip them upside down and do it that way. And then I'll also, you know, I do a lot of chin-ups and a lot of stuff with my hands. That's what it looks like. You've seen those fucking things.
Yeah.
But
so
those
are... You're supposed to be like in a Camaro doing that?
No.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Those guys are dead. Oh, Jesus. It goes to 322?
Yeah,
oh, my God. 365?
Yeah. Only like 5 people in the world have ever done these down here.
That is so crazy.
That's according to what I was reading about.
Yeah. I've got the 140-pound one.
That's nuts. So how far down do I go? Let's see.
Start with the 60.
Right around here.
You sure?
Yeah, start with the 60, though. But, I mean, it just reps. You want reps.
Okay.
Like, you just want to be able to sit around. The idea is that...
Did they have, like, a 10?
All this, most I've met guys who are fighters, like really good fighters that have small hands. And I don't mean small hands meaning like the structure of the hand. I mean the meat of the hand. They don't do anything where they're gripping all the time or pulling all the time. They're strikers. So they just wrap their hands up. And, you know, when you're just doing this all the time and throwing punches, you're not really making your hand stronger. Like, the way to make the hand stronger is you've got to squeeze tennis balls and squeeze, you know, there's different putties that they make.
Grip gis and shit.
Yeah, gripping gis is fantastic. Jesus, yeah. Doing, like, if you grab a jiu-jitsu guy's hand, those hands are made out of wood. Like, a really good jiu-jitsu guy, like, and a lot of that is just gis and gi chin-ups and shit. When you throw the gi over the chin-up bar and do that, that's fantastic, too.
When you do that?
Yeah, you don't fuck with that.
I'm a pussy, dude.
Do you do no gi or just gi?
I do mostly gi.
Mostly gi.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm, you know, I'm finding on the road, it's just traveling, it's easier to do the no gi because I can rinse that out and hang it up in the shower and it's dry by morning.
Do you use special soap and you make sure you don't get any fucking cooties?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cooties are real, man.
Oh, yeah.
They kill people.
Well, I noticed, like, you know, and it's been, I remember as a wrestler, you never really saw this stuff. You saw a little bit of it, but like nowadays, it's like they're getting disqualified at regionals because they've got a spot on their back and they can't go wrestle and they've worked their whole season to get here. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, we clean the mats. We do all those things. We clean the stuff. Like, where did you get that?
Well, staph is in your body, and particularly when people blow their nose, you know, and they wipe their nose on their finger and then they roll. That stuff, your nose has all sorts of staph inside of it, and people get staph in their nose as well. If they get an abrasion in their nose and that stuff gets into your skin and you don't clean it out. It's also, your body has to be healthy, and one of the things that happens with wrestlers or any competitive athlete is as your body is going through training camp, you are building your conditioning, but you're also compromising your immune system. Like, when I was fighting, I used to always get sick. I had poor nutrition. I wasn't really that smart about it, but I was always getting sick before, like, big events. Also nerves, too.
Yeah.
Nerves, conditioning, all that stuff breaks you down. So with athletes, it's that are doing any sort of combat sport where you're getting scratched and you're really susceptible to that stuff. So you gotta, like, defense soap is my thing. I fucking love that stuff because it's all natural. You're not doing anything. Like, when people use antibacterial soap on the hand, the problem with that is that kills the good bacteria too.
Okay.
What you want is something that really reinforces the healthy flora but prevents all the cooties from growing, prevents staph.
And, send me that.
Yeah.
Little list of.
I'll have him send you. My friend Guy Sacco runs a company. He developed it because he was a wrestling coach, and these kids were getting staph and ringworm and shit. He was trying to figure out what the fuck is this. So he came up with these natural cures for it. It's all just tea tree oil and eucalyptus oil.
Okay.
It's just healthy. All yeah. Right. And after you train, just wash your body with it and leave it on. You leave it on, like, you suds up, leave it on for a minute or two, and then rinse it off. And then if you got any little scratches, he's got some ointment you put on the oil. And it's all natural. It's all just good for you, healthy. And then also what's good is probiotics, like anything like kimchi's really good, kombucha's really good, acidophilus from yogurt's really good.
What is it that's in the kimchi that works? Is it because they let it go to vinegar, the volatile acidity is what actually has the probiotics in it? Because
yes.
I have olive trees, I have like 20 olive trees, and so you know, we do the brine solution, it's salt and vinegar solution that we're curing them in. Does that have anything to do with that at all?
Sure. The thing about kimchi is it's a proven health probiotic. Like, it's one of those things that people have been eating for thousands of years, and it's just good for your overall well-being.
I want to know more about this.
Yeah. So cultures, you know, when you're eating these probiotic cultures, and there's some really potent ones you could buy that are, you know, they require, like, there's some that you can get that they live on their own substrate, so inside the little capsules there's enough of whatever they can feed off of where they can be active without being refrigerated. But there's other ones that you have to buy, like really hardcore ones that you're getting that have to be refrigerated.
Okay.
But what I like about the food-based ones is, first of all, they taste good. They could be a part of a meal. I like kimchi, so I eat it all the time. Kombucha, I like it. I drink it all the time. And it just reinforces all that healthy flora.
Okay.
You know, so it's basically got like little soldiers to fight against the cooties. You just you got to think of your body as an ecosystem, right? Your body is not just you. Your body is a host of bacteria. So much so there's more E. coli living in your gut than have ever been people ever. You know, it's all just a part of you. So you just reinforce the good stuff and keep the bad stuff away. And when the immune system gets compromised, especially through hard training, and then you get scratched and that staff just gets a grip on you and gets a hold of you and starts to go, and then it gets systemic. I mean, fucking people die from that stuff. They really do. Staff, in fact, especially that MRSA stuff, man, you remember Kevin Randleman, the UFC fighter?
Yeah, yeah.
He had the most horrific staph infection I've ever seen in my life, where he had holes where he would lift up his arm and you could see a hole in his underarm. We see his muscle through the skin. Look at this. He'll show. Look at it. So you see it up there?
Good Lord.
Yeah. Like, look at that. Go large with that. Look at that fucking hole. That red stuff that you see in there, that is his chest muscle. And he died young, man. And I think it probably had a lot to do with that. And I think what happened with Kevin is, if I'm not mistaken, he just let it go a little too long. And that medication-resistant staph infection, that MRSA stuff, that's the scary stuff. Because that's stuff that's evolved in hospitals and because of people using antibiotics and just...
Yeah, I do my best not to... take the antibiotics if I can.
But if you get that stuff, you gotta take it. They gotta fucking something. Lock you in a hotel room, or in a hospital room rather, and they just IV the fuck out of you. And I have buddies that were there for weeks. My friend Denny, his knee was fucked. I mean, he has a opening on his leg like a salmon got gutted. And they had to go in there and just pull out pus and constantly try to disinfect the area. And he was in a hospital for a long time just dealing with his knee.
And this is
from jiu-jitsu.
From jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a world champion. His knee started swelling up, and he wound up going in.
Let's do Muay Thai.
They get it too, though, man.
Here's my key.
So many UFC fighters get it, and they wind up fighting on antibiotics because of it, because they're fighting it off. You know, Kevin Lee, when he fought Tony Ferguson, as he walked into the octagon, I was looking at his chest. I was like, that is a staph infection. He's got a staph infection on his chest. And he wound up getting staph apparently the week of the fight. And he was like, you know what? We're just going to have to fight. Just going to have to deal with it.
Oh, jeez.
But for him, like for Tony Ferguson, like he's fighting a guy with staph. Like, you can get staph from fighting a guy with staph. You get staph from other people too.
Wow.
Nasty. Yeah. It's cooties.
Let's not do that.
My friend Ari was limping around a pool table once. We were playing pool. He's limping. I was like, what's going on? He goes, I got a spider bite. I'm like, let me see it. He pulls up his knee. I go, stop. Staff. I unscrew my cue. I go, dude, we're going to the hospital right now. He goes, are you serious? I go, fuck yeah, I'm serious. I go, you could die. I go, that is huge. Yeah. You have a pussy filled up staph infection on your knee that's compromising the way you walk. I go, that thing is going to get systemic and it's going to get in your fucking brain.
Yeah. My dad got bit by a brown recluse.
That's bad.
And he went to the hospital that is in an area that has brown recluse, right?
Oh, so they knew what to do?
No. That's the problem with our hospital. They're like, yeah, you know, here, put some of this on there. He's like, I think there's something else wrong. So he comes back a day later going, what do these rings mean? It means now he's got a hole in his leg that he's having to stick gauze in all day long and changing gauze twice a day. And he still has like a dent in his leg where it ate away. Yeah.
What could they have done if they caught it early?
Just give him the antibiotics and just send him, you know what, we're not sure, just take this. They didn't even do that. Like, just take this. Make sure. All they had to do.
And you know, it makes me nervous about hospitals.
Deal with that thing for a month. His crater in his leg.
Makes me nervous about hospitals is when you hear about nurses that get off on killing people. Like, every so often, there's some nurse that just gave people lethal injections or shit. And just
great movie. Makes a great movie.
Does.
But you don't like it.
By the way, if you're a nurse, I'm sure you're awesome. It's not you.
I love nurses.
I love
doctors. I love all those people.
All healthcare practitioners and first responders. I'm in your corner.
And lawyers.
Yep, them too. But there are some dirty people out there. They're monsters. Just happen to be nurses.
Right.
Spiders. Cunty fucking spiders. Putting holes in your leg.
Yeah, called my dad spider bait for a long time.
You live around rattlesnakes too. You got serious rattlesnakes where you live.
Well, the rattlesnakes are pretty good about just
letting you know.
Yeah, they just let you know. They just kind of go on their way. They don't really want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
The tarantulas, same thing. They just kind of go the other way.
Tarantulas look terrifying, but apparently they're cool. Pretty docile.
They're pretty cool. Yeah, they're awesome.
They just hang out. They're not looking to attack you.
It's the tarantula hawks you got to watch out for.
What's that?
Tarantula hawk. Oh,
is that a giant bee? A bee-looking thing?
Bring it up. Fuck these things.
Good God. What is it?
You gotta get a photo?
Oh, the world is so scary.
Oh, my God.
Did you see two people got bit in Florida in an hour by sharks today?
I'm not sure which one it is. Somebody can chime in.
Oh, Jesus, that thing's big. Okay, yeah, I've seen these things before. Yeah. Fuck, that's huge.
They find a tarantula. They jump on it. They infect it with their eggs. And so the tarantula's like, oh, I made it out of there. And then wanders off and then dies, and the larva come out of the tarantula.
Oh, nature, you dirty bitch.
Yeah. So their sting is like, you know, level, you know, top five.
Like a bullet ant, like that kind of shit?
Yeah, yeah. Like a centipede. Centipede's on the list, but like not above.
Centipede? Dude, really?
These things.
That's why you have one on you?
Nah.
Is that you, bro? You giving people the bite?
No, that's me being terrified of centipedes.
No, that's your right hand, right?
It might be. Hey, you know what? I have my ring name.
Yeah. I'm the centipede.
He's the centipede. No, centipedes are just, there's those things like that cause me to shriek like my grandmother and jump up on a counter.
Maynard, the centipede.
Yeah.
It's got a ring to it.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, they're creepy.
Maybe I'll fight Tom Cruise.
Have you ever seen a centipede attack a mouse?
No.
Dude.
So apparently the centipede sting is not as intense as the tarantula hawk, from what I read. I don't know.
I don't know who's doing this, but there's...
They need to, like, I don't know, man, what hurts, the tasers or the pepper spray, get back to...
Yeah, at a certain time, like, how do you know at a certain moment, you know, once you get to that bullet ant level, like, it's supposed to be like getting your arm slammed in a car door for 24 hours. Like, how do you know there's something worse than that? You have another one that's really bad, too. It's like, yeah, we're fucking...
Do it. Also $500 sucks. To get yourself stung by a tarantula hawk, and we'll see what happens.
How long does it last?
I don't know.
That's the thing. Yeah, ooh, this is...
I did it. This is a crazy guy. He has a YouTube channel where he does
this. Oh, yeah.
This.
What is that guy's name again?
Coyote.
Yeah.
What did he get stung by?
I was talking to him for a while. I think we're supposed to get him on the podcast. What is his name again? Coyote what?
His channel's called Brave Wilderness.
I can't remember. Look at that.
Here he goes.
Oh, God.
Fucker. Bang. Look, he's doing it to himself. Get me. Ah! Look at him.
Covered back up first.
I wouldn't even be able to put that jar back on. I'd be like weeping.
Whoa.
Yeah, he goes on.
No.
Coyote Wilson? What's his name?
It just says Coyote right here. Well, I thought it would say his whole name.
Coyote gets stung. Find out this gentleman's name, because I feel like an asshole now.
Coyote Peterson.
Coyote Peterson. Go. Why don't I call him Coyote Wilson? Look at him there.
That's just not. That is not wise.
Yeah, but neither is that leather hat he's wearing. So.
Well.
What are you going to do? The bracelet's questionable as well.
I think he said this was the worst of anything.
He had like two-tone pants on.
What's
too?
Up with the pants? That's come the worst on. Of anything he's ever done?
He's put it like he goes and finds everything that's the worst thing you can do and does the video like this. Watch him
just
deal with it.
Quite a few of those guys. What a weird way to make a living. Just get fucked up by nature.
Worked for Johnny Knoxville.
Mm. I want to show you a video of a centipede killing a mouse.
That's what I had here. I was going to show you.
Horrific.
Centipede verse typed in, and there's a whole bunch of things that pop up. Like, take your pick of what you want to see.
Go with mouse, because it's particularly aggressive in the way they attack mice.
Eat mice?
Go the third down. Down. Okay. Watch this. The mouse is like, hey, I'm just a mouse. I'm kind of cute. Just chilling, hanging out here in this weird blue floor. Oh, fucking Jesus Christ! The thing about centipedes, too, is they don't just say, am I hungry? No. They know what they do, and what they do is fuck up a mouse. That is right out of the movie Alien, right?
Oh, my God, dude.
Like the mouse is like, Jesus! Fucking Jesus! Look at him. He's already dead. I mean, that is goddamn crazy. The mouse is way bigger than him, and he's burrowing into his fucking spine right now while it's twitching and trying to stay alive. The thing about it that's so creepy is it's not necessarily hungry. Like, it just, that's what it does. It sees things. It kills it. I'm like, oh, man, I'm here with a mouse.
It's like a bison and a nine-year-old.
Yeah. It's like I'm here in with a mouse in this weird little fucking environment that doesn't seem natural at all, but I'm not going to think about that. I'm just going to kill this fucking mouse. That's what's important. Yeah. Not why am I in this
I put fish one tank. On me. Why did I do that?
Now why did you?
Because I'm afraid of these things.
So you put it on you?
Yeah.
What else are you afraid of? You got divorce papers on your arm somewhere?
Somewhere. No, I just, I was going to put something on. I had a friend do some tattoos. I have the snake, too. The rattlesnake.
So the things that you're afraid of, you put on.
Yeah. Well, this side is dragons, because I'm Year of the Dragon. But this is like where I
like
live.
Like the Mickey Rourke movie?
Of. I don't know that movie.
You don't know the Year of the Dragon?
No.
Back with Mickey Rourke before he went crazy.
All right.
It's fucking great.
I'm gonna go
young Mickey Rourke.
Okay,
young Mickey Rourke and old. There's two different humans. Young Mickey Rourke and old Mickey Rourke. Young Mickey Rourke was like this like super serious, amazing actor who did fantastic films, like really good.
Angel Heart.
Angel Heart. What else?
So didn't he get like in a motorcycle accident and bonk his head? Is that what happened to push him over the edge?
Here's a trailer of it. No, he became a boxer. He boxed as an amateur when he was young, mm-hmm. and then when he was an actor, I think, if I had a guess, and I'm going to just paraphrase, and I apologize if I got it wrong, but I think he felt like Hollywood and acting, and I know he's been quoted on this, was so fake and so, with for lack of a better term, feminine. It was so soft and bullshit that he felt like he had to do something real again. So he started boxing again as a world famous movie star.
I got punchy.
He started sparring with James Toney.
Oh.
And a bunch of other guys, a bunch of legit boxers. And from what I heard, James Toney used to just touch him up every day. And of course, you don't want to be that guy. You can't hang. So right. He's in there taking fucking jabs to the face and right hands to the face and left hooks to the face and uppercuts to the face. And his face got deformed. And then he wound up getting like cheek implants and a bunch of weird shit.
Right.
He got a bunch of weird facial surgery and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I think
he started losing his mind. But I think CTE played a factor there. I think there's a, to me, it's a logical correlation. It's like, here's a guy who's this world famous, amazing movie star, the 9.5 Weeks and all these other big time movies. He's a fucking blockbuster movie star and an interesting movie star, like a really good actor. And then all of a sudden, he becomes this crazy guy. And in between them, he's getting punched in the face a bunch of times. Like, it doesn't take a genius to make these connections.
Right.
I know a lot of guys that were pretty normal when they were young, and then somewhere into their MMA career, they lost it. And they went off the rails.
There's a growing list of those guys.
A growing list. Yeah. And some gals are on that list as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the gals are there's as Ronda Rousey's opened up the door for women's MMA to become more popular, there's going to be more and more women that are taking more punishment, including ones that you're never going to see inside the UFC. And the other thing is like just training. If you just decide I don't want to fight, but I want to train. Well, that counts. All that stuff counts. All those.
Right.
So are you sparring when you're doing Muay Thai?
No. Good hell no.
Thank you, man. I love you.
I'm just trying to get in shape and stretch, you know?
What about yoga? You fuck with yoga?
I do yoga.
I love yoga.
Yep.
Yoga's awesome.
Yep.
I do it on my own sometimes. It's my hotel room.
That's all we do. Yeah. My wife and I, she has the online service room. Mm-hmm. We do that. But we are opening. I just bought a new place.
You got to open up a fucking yoga school?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. How are you doing all these things?
I'm not doing it. I'm delegating.
How much bandwidth does that eat up? The fact that someone else is doing something that you're a part of. And even though you delegate, you still have to like figure out what that person's doing. Hey, why is our business going under? And Mike's driving a Rolls Royce. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Those kind of things. Yeah. Well, I got a lot of good people around me. Mm. We have a nice little community.
So you just stay chill, take your CBD, drink your port.
We just look at what's the business plan? I think that was very good for me because we lived within our means when I was a kid in Michigan. My parents were high school teachers, which not a huge pay, right? So we're living paycheck to paycheck in a way, they're putting some money away, but grew our own food. He would hunt, put meat in the freezer. But then getting into all of a sudden now, cut to many years later, then there's band and there's like there's touring money and there's stuff, and you kind of lose touch with understanding that most businesses operate on a 10% margin.
Mm.
You know, so getting back to those kind of things to look at this, because I'm moving my jiu-jitsu academy to another building. We're going to put in the bag. We're going to put in a kind of a yoga.
Oh, that's
area.
Right. You own a goddamn jiu-jitsu academy too.
Right. But you know, looking at it, trying to make it work, it's a puzzle that's worth having. It's a puzzle that's worth solving, because mm-hmm. if you understand how to survive this thing on that microcosm, that you can survive a lot of things, right? You can make sure that when shit doesn't go the way you want it to go, you've done the work to figure out how to survive in those extreme circumstances in terms of business, in terms of, you know, if the economy goes the way it goes. Mm-hmm. And if not, we got greenhouses and we have some wine. So we'll eat some salad and drink wine and die happy.
It's a good way to think. But I just can't believe how many different irons you have in the fire. And I know you're delegating. I know you have good people around you, but God, that's so much. Do you ever think of simplifying? Do you ever think, like, maybe I should just, like, pare this stuff down? Like,
in a way, we are. And I think this next couple years, the last couple years has been that, like, establishing something in Arizona, establishing the green, establishing the vineyards, establishing the businesses. We've kind of branched out in various ways, but I feel like, in a way, we're expanding to retract. So once we figure out what works, we're going to bring it all back in, centralize everything, make it simpler, and it's way more sustainable at that point. Right now we're kind of extended. We're all over the place kind of doing things, but I feel like, you know, getting a few rounds in, getting some sparring in once, twice a week, three times a week, then, you know, having the vineyards going on, because that's hard work too. I don't really have time to train jiu-jitsu or do Muay Thai or any of that, you know.
But you seem to enjoy all these different varieties of experiences too, like Pussifer, Perfect Circle, Tool, Vineyard, Restaurant, Jiu-Jitsu Academy. It's like you seem to enjoy having all these different plates spinning.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's my dopamine.
Yeah.
If I'm going to have an addiction, at least, you know, there's going to be some community attached to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like you seem to enjoy having all these little puzzles.
Yeah.
These little things going on.
Yes. Absolutely. The puzzles are important. Keep you alive, keep you relevant, keep you fresh.
Yeah. Goals, puzzles.
Yeah, goals.
Deadlines.
Absolutely.
Harvest. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, harvest is great because it's not up to you.
Right.
You're marching to the beat of a whole different drummer at that point.
And how do you schedule touring? Do you schedule touring directly by when your harvest season is and how the wineries
work?
Yeah,
I mean, luckily with Tool, we're popular enough to where we can get offers. We can do the touring, you know, any time during the year. Nothing's going to really adjust or affect how, you know, what we make as a living for doing that touring. Something like Pussifer, way harder puzzle. It seems smaller, seems like it's not on the same scale, but in a way it's a more difficult scale because there's less margin for error. So when we tour with that, it has to be a very specific way we do it, because you got to make sure that we don't pay to do it, right?
I just started thinking about that thing you did with was it Ronda Rousey and who else was in there?
Oh, yeah.
What else?
That guy you said was president.
Oh, that guy. That's right. Trump was in it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I bet my balls and lost.
What year was that?
That was 15.
That was before the elections.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, what,
yeah.
I was like right when he announced that he was around the time.
Yeah. 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 That was good.
Yeah, I remember when you said that to me, I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
Did you get all the different Ronda Rousey versions?
No.
They look like Ronda's.
We've got Miss Chrissy Cyborg's in there. We have Miss Holly Holm. We have Kat Zingano. We have me. We have Rhonda. I'm the hot one.
It's hilarious. No, again, where do you have the time to do this?
I didn't. These are friends of mine who did the whole video. I go, here's what I have in mind. And they were like, okay, we'll do it. So I don't animate. I have no idea how to animate.
You got a lot of shit for this?
Not really. I mean, because it's just pure comedy, right?
Right.
It's like, it's not, you know, whatever. I'm not, I'm political to a point only when it's like, when it comes to assholes. So I don't like, most politicians are easy targets because they're, you already know they're lying.
Right.
They're speaking. So that they're just, it's good comedy right away. I think the best comedy we've had in many years has been Trump, because he sets them up for you.
He does, but it's almost, it's what he's doing is so strange, because he's not even pretending to be what we think of as a president. Like, right. He'll attack people on Twitter.
Yeah.
He'll go, like, he, it's weird.
It's crazy.
It's weird. Yeah. Like,
and I wonder if the thing we talked about, the 400-year line. Okay, this is me going back to conspiracy theories. Mm. There's, Eddie didn't sneak in yet, did he?
No, okay. Eddie's working right now.
All right. So
teach class.
Right. I feel like it's almost like that is the distraction to keep us all divided and keep us all guessing what the fuck's going on. And
on purpose?
Yeah, maybe. You know, if you're a good conspiracy theorist, you're going to put those connections together. Look at the every show that's ever gone. Like, okay, well, we found out that there's this meteor speeding toward Earth. We can't tell anybody.
Mm.
So if there's anything weird like that going on, like there's a fungus that's going to kill everybody. Don't tell me. Just get everybody arguing. Get them like, you know, distracted by you know football. Hey, who's your team? Football, right? So, you know, just you know, the bread and circus of it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get caught up in having food and some gladiators, and you forget about your civic duty, right?
That would have to be orchestrated by some genius component of our government that doesn't seem to exist in any other form.
I think it's accidental. I don't think anybody's pulling the strings. I think it's just like part of the progression of what happens.
Okay,
it just
like happens. The Kali Yuga madness.
Yeah, it just happens. It because of the natural progression of where things are going, it just comes out as a symptom.
That makes more sense to me. That makes more sense to me than this grand conspiracy.
Oh no, it's not. I don't think anybody's that organized.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
I think there's chaos going on and people capitalizing on that chaos, and I definitely think there's lying, and I definitely think there's conspiracies. But I think more than anything, it's just this is the way the world is turning right now because of just how society is set up and how disconnected we are to the natural world and how connected we are to the digital world. And
all right.
It's
and there's, I don't think there's any way out, but I think in the interim, I feel like an attempt to reconnect is going to help.
I think generationally, there's a way out. The problem is for our generation, I don't know if there's a way out.
No, you know.
I think especially people like us that grew up without any sort of internet and then have watched it transform and completely take over the world, whereas the idea of a world without internet is impossible to us. It doesn't even compute, but we grew up without it. So what happened? Well, we were taken over. We're taken over by some sort of digital entity. I don't think for us, I think that this world has to be figured out by the people that recognize that we've fucked up. Like we were talking about learning from mistakes, learn from other people's mistakes. Well, they're going to learn from our mistakes. They're going to learn from our mistakes, and they're going to be people who grew up just like, I mean, just like every other really fucked up part of human civilization that people have managed to overcome and avoid, whether it's slavery or war with bows and arrows. Like they've figured out, like that was not the way to do it. Let's move past this. Let's figure out what the folly of our ancestors was, and let's adjust accordingly.
I agree with that.
As long as we don't poison the earth, as long as we don't make. Saying if you're in Arizona, that's a hot spot. Like actually hot.
Yeah, we have a lot of water there.
Mm.
You have lots of water.
Where you are.
Well, just in general, Arizona has water. That's what, you know, you drive by those lawns and pools and Riverside and Palm Springs. That's Arizona water.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought that shit was like
Colorado
filtered
River.
From the, yeah.
Yeah, you have all the mountain ranges around Arizona and down through Colorado. All that kind of filters that way.
And that's that, the Salton Sea. That's all because of that Colorado River. You ever fuck around with that place?
Jen just went through there. She showed me a bunch of photos. It's pretty amazing.
It's insane. Most people don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
There is an amazing documentary on it.
She just bought it, so I'm going to watch it.
It's fucking crazy. That used to be a place where everyone from Hollywood went. Like they would call it the Inland Riviera. Like California's Riviera, and they would go there, and Sonny Bono, while he was alive, was trying to figure out a way to detoxify the water and pass bills, because a lot of it is runoff from the agriculture from north.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The people that live around there are just, it's just a rotten wasteland. Look at that. All the dead fish. Around the sea, there are, it's like sand, but it's white. And it's not sand. It's actually the bones of dead fish.
Yeah.
But it's so prevalent that you would think that it's sand. What a crazy ass place that is. That's one of those places.
Smells
where
great.
It's worse all the time. And apparently if you're in Palm Springs during certain times of the year, it wafts over and hits you. They have dead zones where millions of tilapia will just wind up on the beach dead and just rotting and smelling through.
Have you seen all the grasshoppers in Vegas?
Yes.
It's crazy.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible. That is. That's locusts.
On radar.
That's what locusts are. Locusts are grasshoppers.
Yes.
So Jesus is trying to tell us something. Stay out of Vegas. Or don't.
Right.
Or you can eat grasshoppers, too. That's the other thing. Well, they're quite tasty.
Forgot about that part.
Yeah.
We will find a way to survive.
Do you guys have those javelinas near you?
Oh, yeah.
That's a creepy little fucker, isn't it?
Yeah. They will tear up an entire vineyard in one night.
Oh, will they really?
Yeah, they're crazy. It's like you see a lot of guys in Texas that the boar are like running wild there. Mm-hmm. So they'll give you permits and you're in a helicopter. You go over the boar herd that's just destroying agriculture. They'll go over and they'll try to thin them out. But it's there's no stopping it. We don't have that much of a problem with the javelina in Arizona, but it is a problem.
Yeah, well, that's at least a wild, natural animal.
It was introduced.
Javelina was?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
By who? What piece of shit brought that goddamn thing over
here? I had no idea. I don't know. But it's not native to the area. It was brought in. That's what I was told.
Oh.
So
I need to know that. It's a peccary.
Sold.
It looks like a pig, but it's a peccary, which is like a cousin to a pig.
Like
a
rat or something.
Right? Yeah,
between a rat and a pig somewhere.
Doug Stanhope lives down in Arizona, and he said his neighbor's dog got killed by a pack of javelina.
Yeah, because the problem was the dog chased the javelina. The male flipped around while the kids and the other part of the herd took off, and he went, oh, and he like gored him.
Because we had a
Dogo Argentino that almost died because
that's
of
a big dog,
and that little not so little male javelina whipped around, and it's like trying to fight Mike Tyson. It's like it's this compact thing with spikes.
They're a really unusual animal to hunt because they respond to calls the way you wish animals would respond to a call. Like if you're trying to call on an elk and you're like, meh, meh, they're like, maybe I'll come over there. Is that a chick? She's looking for some dick. They'll get close and they'll try to figure out which way the wind's blowing. With a javelina, what you do is you make these sounds like a wounded animal. Like they have these little predator calls where it's like... Well, you're making something like something's writhing in agony and making noises, and they sprint towards it.
Yeah.
And then when they realize that it's not what they want, they try to turn around, and that's when you shoot them.
Right.
But they run like no other animal to a predator because they live in this horrible environment in the desert, and it's all mountain lions and jaguars and whatever the fuck else lives out there.
Yeah, they're weird, too. You see them, and that there's this silhouette. And then they turn, and they're, like, thin. You're like, what the fuck is that? Like, so if you try to shoot it head-on, the bullet's just going to bounce off that skull. they turn, and you can, like, the side shot's the way to get it. But like
It's like a flounder.
Yeah. It really is. Or weird.
It's a fucking strange. Is that a introduced animal?
It says that it migrated from, like, South America and Mexico up over a couple centuries. But maybe someone brought it up first.
Well, the pigs are. The pigs have only been here since the 1500s. The Spaniards, those crazy Europeans, they brought them over here for food. Like, we'll just let these pigs go. No one's going to care.
Right.
Next thing you know, they're in almost, you know, I think they're in every single county in Texas.
Yeah.
And they're making their way across the country.
They're just devastating things.
Yeah. They're in San Jose, Silicon Valley. People's lawns are getting torn up by wild pig populations.
Yeah, not cool.
But they're tasty.
If you hit them right, because they have that
gland.
The gland, you process it wrong, and it's like,
You just got to know what you're doing. Just don't fuck around with their glands, just like men, you know?
Please leave my glands alone.
But that desert environment is such an interesting thing, because you think it's desolate, but it's a really thriving ecosystem.
Yeah. It really is. Our, like just the simple things like our herbs and the tomatoes, things like that, they thrive.
Yeah.
They're very aromatic, the basils and the rosemaries and things. It's just really intense stuff.
What kind of tomatoes do you grow? Do you grow like an heirloom style of tomato?
Well, that doesn't really grow well. The ones that really do well in our greenhouses are the little, like the cherries or little pear tomatoes, those little smaller versions of tomatoes. They do really well.
Why do they do better than the heirloom ones?
I think that they're, as far as flavor, I like them better. Mm-hmm. I think it's because just the size, the skin contact, you know, how much more compact they are. There's just more flavor in one tomato. Rather than the pulp being the flavor, I would imagine the skin in the outer part is actually more of the flavor than just the pulp.
I got to get a greenhouse. I really do. That's something I've been thinking about a lot lately because I've had vegetables. Like when I said I just got back from Italy, God damn, their tomatoes taste good.
Yeah.
I mean, you realize that tomato is actually a fruit.
Yeah, and it tastes great.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
But you get a tomato over here from the grocery store and it might as well be a tennis ball. I mean,
yes.
It bounces like a tennis ball. It lasts. It lasts forever.
Yeah, our tomatoes don't. You know, I pick them because we're going to eat them today or tomorrow.
That's it. That's the way to live, man. Yeah. That's how people are supposed to live. This goddamn waiting forever to eat your food while it just sits on a shelf is nonsense.
Yeah. So you know, I got used to that. Now that we have the greenhouses going for the last couple of years, it's like you get that stuff. That's what we're making.
Do you have well water?
We're on the spring that comes down from Mingus Mountain. So Jerome is on spring water. And then we have well down on the other sites.
So your tap water, spring water?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So does anybody add anything to it?
Probably, yeah, because it's a town, so they probably have to treat it just to be safe. Yeah, unfortunately. But
when I lived in Colorado, we had a well.
We have three wells. Each site has its own well.
Oh, okay, well, so you get spring water from that.
We have ditch rights because we have the Oak Creek, and it's at the Page Spring is right there. So we have water ditch rights that we actually irrigate the vineyard on those, but I went ahead and put in a well on every one of them just as a backup plan.
Did you get a guy with a stick trying to figure out where the water is, the diviner mm-hmm. guy? Yep. Does that shit work?
Works for us.
How is that real?
I don't know.
I had a buddy of mine who built a well on his property, and he had the guy come over with a stick. I'm like, I can't talk to you anymore.
I want to say like they know that there's a general area where the water is.
Yeah.
And there's some dude with a cell phone in the corner going, watch this. He's like, I think it's right here.
But
he does the thing.
It's a time-honored practice.
But I've seen it. I've seen it done where like he's just walking around. All of a sudden, it just goes down. Like, oh,
really?
Let's go here. Yeah.
How the fuck can that possibly be real?
I don't know. It's good.
Here it is. Here's this guy.
It's called water witching.
Water witch. Oh, well, it's witchcraft. Look at this guy. Fuck this guy. I'm looking at the way he's moving his hands. Fuck her, too. She's full of shit, too. Look at him. Oh, I'm not even controlling this. Right here. See it. The fuck out of here with that. That's nonsense. That's like three-card money.
Hey,
guy's an asshole.
I've drilled four wells, and they've all been four for four.
Would you just try to drill a well out of the fucking blue? Just flip
just
a
somewhere.
Coin. Yeah, 10 paces right here. Bam. Oh, look, a well. We're under a fucking network of wells.
Yeah.
The only thing I worry about wells is every movie where there's bad people, they always throw the bodies in a well. Like the Quentin Tarantino,
you can't really fit the body down that.
Eight-inch
casing.
I think,
but you can try. I mean,
those people that
have yourself a little meat grinder or some hogs, I guess you're good.
Do you remember the well baby, the kid that fell down the well? It took like days to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
And they got
baby
him out.
Jessica.
Yeah, it was her, right? Yeah, I said him. Yeah, and she eventually became like a hot broad.
Here's another guy doing it. He's calling this is called a dowser. I might be multiple names.
Divine. Look at his sweater. I'm not dowser. Listening to this guy.
See,
ever.
He has a bottle of water on the ground, and he's like proving.
Well, how about we put a bottle of water where he doesn't know where it is?
Blind him, right?
Look, he's moving his arms. This guy's a dipshit. He's like the worst magician ever. He's literally like moving his arm. Nothing under my sleeve, and presto. Watch his hands. Fuck you. Fuck you, Melvin. John Baker, professional dowser, professional hoser. He's a hoser, this guy.
Yeah. This is the stick. That's the one.
John, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm just, this is comedy. I'm sure you're real. I'm sure what you're doing is real, bro. Let me see. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands.
What?
Oh, Jesus. Look at it. It's moving down with my... Coincidentally, my hands are thrusting down at the same time. Yeah. Nonsense. He's a professional dowser.
What's the name of the religion? They have the snakes that bite them in the face.
Pentecostals.
Yeah. Maybe he's one of those.
They're good at that. Those are my favorite. Those are the folks that talk in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Pentecostals talk in tongues. I'm thinking I'm conflating them. I don't think they necessarily are the snake handlers.
Well, I was raised Southern Baptist, and we did some tongues.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Samalama ding dong.
Yep.
Did you do that?
Like that one.
Really?
I didn't say it like that because that would be a sin.
Do you know, what's his name? Is it Robert Paulson? Is that the guy? He's like the slick back hair preacher. He does that. He'll just be on in the middle of talking about Jesus.
Robert Tilton.
That's right, Robert
Tilton.
He's
amazing.
He is my,
that's one Bible!
One of my all-time favorite quotes. Me. Every time you write a check to me, Satan gets a black eye. That's he said.
You have the farting preacher video?
That's him.
Yeah.
That's
good.
He's a dowser as well.
Yes.
He's out there in the backyard with some sticks. You have a flight to head back to your farm.
Yes, sir.
I think you have to leave quite soon.
Pretty soon.
So, congratulations on the release of the Tool entire library, streaming everywhere. Congratulations on your vineyards and your wine and your yoga studio and your jiu-jitsu studio and
my new Muay Thai bags.
Fucking crayon company and... your helicopter farm, whatever the fuck else you're doing. Right. Is there anything else you need to tell everybody about before we get out of here?
I don't know, man. I'm just so excited we finished this record.
Well, listen, man, it's always great to see you, even ever briefly. Next time I'm going to come to your place and eat.
Okay.
Tell me when is a good time and we'll figure it out and I'll fly the missus up there and we'll get some food and some
wine. Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.